Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God,
hallelujah.
Good morning. This is Blog Talk Radio, Words from the Word. We are so excited today to be able to share with you after the Sexual Relational Healing Retreat of 2015. It was a glorious coming together of the people of God, and the Lord manifest himself to us. And one of the areas of awesome move was the seven wonders in the Word. In the seven wonders in the Word, this year's theme was His Glory. And you are live with your host, Overseer Paula Thornton. I am blessed to be able to share the ministry of the seven wonders in the Word with you. The Apostle Dr. Shauna Houghton is the founder and originator and the visionary of this ministry. And we're just excited to be able to share with you those things that the Lord has shared with us. He has such a heart for his people, and he longs to bless his people with his word as he matures us and grows us and prepares us for the season that we are in. This wonder that I'm going to share the word from today will not be the one from the 2015, but it will be from the 2009. We had a tremendous time, and the word from this year's will be shared on next week. But the Seven Wonders in the Word Ministry was birthed out of Labors for Christ Sexual Relational Healing Retreat. It is a physical preparation and presentation of an event, a person, or a thing that's in Scripture. Each scene, and there are seven of them, represents a time or place in Scripture where life changed for those in relationship with God. The key principles of the kingdom are revealed through these featured wonders. These principles were presented in audio and written form as well, and we will be sharing the written form with you. The Ministry of the Seven Wonders provide a time of reflection and connection, a quiet reminder of who has chosen you and how he has committed himself to you. Listen and feel his presence, greet you, and lead you into intimate fellowship and wonder. Hallelujah. I want to share this song with you. It blessed me, and it is going to be our King. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. As we close out this year's retreat, we do want to be mindful of the heart of the Lord for his people and for the season that they're in. And God speaks to us and delivers his message to us through many, many things that are common to us in our everyday walk. And one of those things is truth. And I pray that as this is shared with you today, that you will no longer look at trees the same, but you will be reminded of God's heart for his people and a heart for his people to understand their relationship with him. This is from the 2009 Seven Wonders in the Word Sexual Relational Healing Retreat. Trees. Trees are mentioned 287 times in the Bible. 47 times in Genesis alone. From the first chapter of Genesis to the last chapter in Revelation, the tree was given purpose, position, and a place of honor in the life of man. Man's physical health, spiritual health, and his healing is all tied to his understanding of the purpose, position, and place of the tree in his life. Genesis 2 and 8 tells us, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." From the beginning, man's understanding of what his relationship was supposed to be to all the trees in the garden held the key to the destiny of all mankind. Man's first commandment for God was concerning trees in Genesis 2:16-17. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou shalt freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it." And then as man started his eternity in Revelation, the tree of life plays a key part. It is presented again, and this time details are given concerning its purpose and place of honor. It is on either side of the river that is proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb, Revelation 22:2. And on either side of the river were there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. God made trees a living, vital element in our world. Trees enhance and support life, and they teach us a lot about life and our responsibility for those in relationship around us. They possess a unique quality and character. They add a natural and a spiritual value to their surroundings, just as we must do. Numerous passages of Scripture present their importance to man. Genesis 8 and 11. A branch from the olive tree signaled the return of life after the flood. You will find the nature of the olive tree is closely associated with the Jewish nation, the chosen ones of God. The branch of Jesus, of Jesse, Jesus Christ, brought hope of redemption to a lost world, just as the olive branch brought hope to those on the earth. In Nehemiah 9 and 25, it declares the land very desirable and valuable because it had an abundance of fruit trees. The abundance of fruit bearing trees meant the people would have a constant source of food. The trees would also provide food, lodging, and support for all the living creatures that were needed to balance a healthy environment. When our life produces the fruit of the Spirit, how blessed are those around us. In Nehemiah 8 and 15, the remnant in Jerusalem, while experiencing restoration after captivity and destruction of the temple, were instructed to gather the branches of the olive tree, the wild olive, said to refer to the Gentile engrafted into the vine, Jesus Christ. Olive trees to build booths to dwell in during the feast time. God ordained times of worship when all nations and people types would dwell together in worship of Him. God required their surroundings to be like it was during their original place of fellowship in the Garden of Eden. God's instruction to Moses regarding building the tabernacle, man's place of worship, centered around the use of the wood from the Arcadia tree for its structure and its furniture. In the tabernacle wood, representative of man. The Ark of the Covenant, the first furniture built for the tabernacle, was made from Arcadia wood overlaid with gold. It was a slow-growing tree because the terrain was dry. The Arcadia, or Shittim, as it is often called, was a small tree with very hard wood, and its branches were very thorny. This tree grows in abundance in the Sinai Desert, often being the only tree in an otherwise empty landscape. As we are in this world today, some also believe that Christ's crown of thorns is made from this Arcadia tree. Trees are presented in Scripture as a backdrop for divine visitation. On numerous occasions in Scripture, man had an encounter with the angel of the Lord in the surroundings of trees. Trees are often the focal point in the design and detail of an event in the life of the people, judges, prophets, and kings. The kind of tree presented helps to establish the nature of the event and visitation. Let's look at the wonder of the trees in the accounts below. In Judges 6:11-21, the oak tree grows as a strong, tall, solitary structure on high ground. The oak tree provides a fit setting for a one-on-one encounter with the angel of the Lord. Gideon had, as a little boy from a poor family, who thrashed the wheat at the wine press instead of the threshing floor for fear of the Midianites. The Midianites terrorized the Israelites. They would often raid the land, take what they wanted, and burn the rest. Gideon meets the angel of the Lord sitting under the oak tree. The angel of the Lord declared to Gideon, a mighty man of valor, and summoned Gideon to deliver the Israelites from this very powerful enemy. But Gideon, as a little boy, did not see himself as a mighty man of valor. But the oak tree, the angel of the Lord, and the frightened boy provides a powerful visual backdrop for the divine encounter of Gideon as he questions his future. The Lord brings fire from a rock and consumes Gideon's offer as he accepts his high calling as the sixth judge of Israel. The elements God chose for this encounter represents the circumstances Gideon would have to overcome. Gideon saw himself as a frightened little boy, but God was calling him up out of his fear. God saw him as a mighty oak tree, strong, solitary, standing alone and leading a war against a powerful enemy. Then in Zechariah 1:8-13, the myrtle tree is a laurel which is evergreen, which with dense foliage, having white blossoms that emit a sweet fragrance when crushed. The myrtle tree illustrates the strange grace of Israel in affliction. These trees were the setting of the vision of Zechariah that revealed Judah persons, Jerusalem under adverse conditions, and the Gentiles at rest about them. There was a rider on a red horse that stood amongst the myrtle tree in the valley. Behind him there were red horses, spotted and white. The man on the red horse explained they had been sent by the Lord to walk to and fro in the earth, and they reported that the earth is sitting down and at rest. This news displeased the Lord, for it meant that the Gentile nations were satisfied with themselves and how they afflicted the Jewish people and the Israelites, being persecuted or crushed. The angel of Jehovah brought good and comforting words to Zechariah about the 70 years suffering of the children of Israel, that no matter what the season in their life, they would be more numerous than the stars in number, and they would be a great nation as he had covenanted with Abraham. They were always his, beautiful in his sight, the beautiful, beautiful white blossom. God would see us as righteous. And when they were crushed for their disobedience, there would still a beautiful grace that was ever on them. Fragrance from the tree crushed was pleasing and pleasant and provided an illustration of the strange grace of Israel in affliction, and they have been afflicted over thousands of years. In 2 Samuel 5:23, the mulberry tree grows to the height of 30 to 80 feet. Its flower and leaves are its distinction. They will determine whether the tree is male or female. Only the female tree with round white flowers will bear fruit. The tree has the ability to change its sex by the change in the flowering of the tree. When David asked God about how to go to battle against his enemy, God replied, "Don't go straight up to them to fight, but wait till you hear the sound of the leaves stirring at the top of the mulberry tree. Then stir yourself up and come at them from the other side of the mulberry tree. When you hear the sound of the stirring in the top of the mulberry tree, then you will know that I have gone before you to destroy your enemy. The leaves at the top are the closest to the sun. They are the strongest and most mature, receiving more of the sun and rain for the longer period of time. They are at the highest reaches of the branches. So when the wind causes the movement at the top, David was told to realign his troops and position them to go forth in confidence that God had gone before him and secured his victory, changing a defeat into a victory. Then in Luke 19:2-6, the sycamore tree was mentioned, and it has a massive trunk diameter, one of the largest of all trees. It can grow to height of 100 feet with a wide grain canopy of leaves and branches. These branches reach out as far as 60 feet. They are among the oldest trees, living to be 600 to 700 years old. How befitting Zacchaeus would choose this tree to climb to get a glimpse of Christ. We can't stay where we are if we want to be a part of what God Christ is doing. Zacchaeus was a small man. He was rich and powerful, but he knew he had limited, and he was limited by his own abilities. Zacchaeus prepared for his encounter with Christ ahead of time. He became familiar with where Christ was going. He scouted out the land, looking for something with the right set of characteristics to meet his needs. Something tall, old, secure, strong. It is no wonder he remembered the sycamore tree, the sycamore tree. It had been there for a long time. His trunk was massive and would definitely be able to bear his weight. His branches were far-reaching and high above the crowd. They would support him well and provide him with a panoramic view of the approach of the Savior. And so he chose to position himself in the sycamore tree to see Jesus, who he thought. And Jesus looked up, saw him, and chose to abide with him and bring salvation to his house. 19:3-8. The juniper tree was more like a large shrub found in abundance in southern Palestine. It had long, slender branches with small leaves and provided very poor shade for protection from the sun. However, poisonous creatures would not go near this tree, and the oil from the tree was used to anoint travelers in this scorching region to keep the poisonous creatures away. Elijah chose to seek refuge under this tree, in a place too small, with a covering too short, to completely protect and provide for his safety as he fled for his life from Jezebel. He despaired of living and saw himself as a failure, even though he had just been a part of a great victory for the Lord on the Mount Carmel. His choice of the juniper, though not the wisest, showcases God's faithfulness. For as he, there, misery and weary of life, he fell asleep. He was protected from those poisonous creatures because of the place he chose. And the angel of the Lord touches him and provides food and drink for him as he rests, because the journey had become too great for him. Just as trees are seen by all men and declares the wonder of God, so we as well are to be seen as witnesses to the world of the plan and purpose of God for all his creation. Trees know. Trees know their purpose. They speak to God's majesty, awesome, and his awesome presence. They speak of the power of their Creator. They speak of the glory of God. The trees clap in worship, Isaiah 55:12, of the true God rejoicing in his delivering his people, Ezekiel 17:24. All the trees of the field will know that I am the Lord. I bring down the high tree, exalt the low tree, dry up the green tree, and make dry trees flourish, for I am the Lord. Dry trees flourish, those barren trees, dry, and yet in Christ he will make them to flourish. Psalms 104:16, the tree of the Lord drink their fill, the cedars of Lebanon, which he planted. David said in Psalms 52:8, I am like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. I trust in the mercies of God forever and ever. So no matter what we appear to be, we should know that we are, as David has declared, a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. Trees, they reach high to capture energy from the sun. We reach high to learn of the sun and to receive from him. We will beautify the earth as monuments of honor to God, establishing the kingdom of God in the earth as it is in heaven. Living, lively testament to the grace and power of the Almighty God. Luke 15:1-7 explains this awesome principle. He is the true vine. We are the branches. When we abide in him and he in us, we can ask what we will, and it shall be done unto you. By this, we provide an environment for the miracles of the living God. Just as the trees give off oxygen to replenish the air around them, and by doing so, the balance is maintained and the circle of life continues. In Isaiah 41, God says, I will put in the wilderness the cedar, the acacia, the myrtle, and the olive. I will set in the desert the cypress, and the plain and the pine together, that men may see and know, may consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel hath created it. What a variety of gifts and characteristics the Lord has placed together in a place that only he could cause them to thrive. And he says he has done this. As we must realize, as we are placed together, gifts together, fitted together, only in Christ being perfected to change the wilderness into the kingdom of God. Trees are pillars of hope and a sanctuary of relief and refreshment. They provide shade, comfort, and a place of safety for those seeking a place of escape. Trees provide necessary elements for their surroundings. God was so pleased with the wonder of this creation that he often used this characteristic and nature in illustrations in Scripture. A wonder of the nature of trees is revealed in the narrative of the description of the kings of Assyria. The state of man and nations is vividly illustrated by the growth and destruction of trees. Given great detail to the growth and destruction of each part of the trees further emphasizes the importance of each part and the role it plays in the complete picture. Each part revealing a characteristic or error that God was exalting or judging. Ezekiel 31:3. And then we will go to callers that are on the line. You are as Assyria was, a great and mighty nation. Assyria too was once like a cedar of Lebanon, full of thick branches that cast deep forest shade with its high tops among the clouds. Deep springs watered it, and helped it to grow tall and luxurious. The water was so abundant that there was enough for all the trees nearby. This great tree towered above all the other trees around it. It prospered and grew long, thick branches because of all the water at its roots. The birds nested in its branches, and in its shade, all the wild animals gave birth to their young. All the great nations of the world lived in its shadow. It was strong and beautiful, for its roots went deep into the abundant water. This tree became taller than any of the other cedars in the garden of God. No cypress had branches equal to it. No plane tree had boughs to compare. No tree in the garden of God came close to it in beauty. Because of the magnificence I gave this tree, it was the envy of all the other trees in Eden, the garden of God. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord said. Because it became proud and arrogant, and because it set itself so high above the others, reaching to the clouds, I handed it over to a mighty nation that destroyed it as its wickedness deserved. I myself discarded it. A foreign army, the terror of the nations, cut it down and left it fallen on the ground. Its branches were scattered across the mountains and valleys and ravines of the land. All those who lived beneath its shadow went away and left it lying there. The birds rooted on its fallen branch, and the wild animals laid among its branches. Let no other nation proudly exalt in its own prosperity, though it be higher than the clouds, for all are doomed. They will land in the pit, along with all the proud people of the world. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. When Assyria went down into the grave, I made the deep places mourn, and I restrained the mighty waters. I clothed Lebanon in black and caused the trees of the field to wilt. I made the nations shake with fear at the sound of its fall, for I sent it down to the grave with all the others like it, and all the other proud trees of Eden, the most beautiful and the best of Lebanon, the ones whose roots went deep into the water, were relieved to find it there with them in the pit. Its allies, too, were all destroyed and had passed away. They had gone down to the grave, all those nations that had lived in its shadow. O Egypt, to which of the trees of Eden will you compare your strength and glory? You too will be brought down to the pit with all these other nations. You will lie there among the outcasts who have died by the sword. This will be the fate of Pharaoh and all his teeming horde. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. Behold, the Assyrians was a Lebanon, a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches and with a shadowing shroud and of a high stature, and its tops was among the burrow. And then its defeat was made known. What a vivid vision of the fall of the arrogant nations that take for granted the prosperity that God has given them. Now we will go to a caller on the line. Caller, you're live on the line. Word.
Hello?
From the Word. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. How are you?
Praise God. I am blessed and highly favored. Overseer Paulette, this is Dr. Rhonda Childress.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Let me just set it up for our audience. This awesome woman of God was at the last sexual relational healing retreat this past weekend, and in sharing, she shared with us concerning the trees from the 2009 retreat. And so we are so glad to have you on the line. We rejoice in the testimonies of those who have been blessed by the ministry of the Seven Wonders. Please share with us this morning.
Amen. Thank you. And in 2009, I was blessed to hear the good news of the sexual healing conference by Apostle Ken Hester. He so made it so vivid that we wanted to go. At the time, I had surgery a month prior on my knee, and I was not able to walk. I was almost 300 pounds. But because it sounded as if that God was calling me to go, I went, and I was on a walker. I could hardly walk. I was on pain medications, but I pressed my way. And I wanted to go into the Seven Wonders room. At that time, it was in the evening hours. When I went in, Pastor Hooks was the person who was praying for us, the room before you go into the Seven Wonders. And he gave me a prophetic word from the Lord. I told my husband to get behind me and kept shelving my shoulder and told him, do you have her? And he had to brace himself because every time he would push me, I would stumble backwards. He says, she's going to go through so much in these next couple of years, and you have to have her back. You have to have her. And after leaving there and having my feet washed and having the word and taking communion, I walked out of there without the cane, without the walker. I had a cane and a walker both with me. I left them behind and walked the few feet to the Seven Wonders room. And when I went in the Seven Wonders room, my husband and I, it was filled with trees, all types of trees. And the first tree that God brought me to was a barren tree. And I like the story that Overseer Paulette talked about the different trees. Because prior to me even going there, God was giving me visions about trees and how I was connected to my son through the bark of a tree, he was the root because my son was hooked on drugs, but praise God, he is not now today. And at that time, I just had all these visions of different types of trees, and when I walked into the room, I was so astounded by this beautiful vision of different types of trees. My husband proceeded and left me and went further down, but God stopped me at a barren tree. The very first tree, it was a barren tree. And he said, lay down prostrate before this tree. And I had just had this surgery, and I couldn't get down on the floor, and my husband was farther away from me, so he couldn't help me up. And I heard the enemy say, if you get down there, you're not going to be able to get up. But I heard God say, lay before me. And as I don't know how I got on the floor on my own. It had to be the angels that laid me prostrate before him. And he says, this is a barren tree, and I'm going to use you to speak to women, to speak to them who are barren. And when you speak to them about the words that I'm going to put in your mouth, they are going to become fruitful in me. They are going to flourish. As Overseer Paulette said, I'm going to tell you what to say to deliver them from the barrenness that they have in their lives. And it was so profound that I wept before the Lord, and I stayed prostrate until the Lord said, get up. And when I got up, the angels stood me up, and I walked without a limp, without any help from my husband. And the next tree he took me to was the burning bush of Moses, where he told me that I would be a type Moses to help deliver his people. And the trees were just so, every tree in that room was a story of what God was telling me. It was such an awesome experience that I could not even fathom the whole story with the time that I have to talk about it. But just to tell you that changed my life. Through the course of the other 2 years, to follow when Prophet Hooks told me to my husband that I was going to go through. I was attacked by the enemy, afflicted with cancer, afflicted with sciatica, bleeding ulcers, so many things. It's just hard for me to even think about it because they're gone. But today, this day, I stand giving God the glory that I'm cancer-free, free of diabetes, free of high blood pressure. I am 125 pounds lighter than I was when I was close to 300 pounds. I can run and not be weary. My knees don't bother me. I don't take high blood pressure medicine anymore, no diabetes medicine. I don't have cancer. And so I know starting at that point in 2009 when God gave the message to my husband that the devil is going to come in, because in order to go through something, the Bible says that they overcome by the word of their testimony, and God is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's no respecter of person. What he did for me, he can do for others. But I'm here to say that day in that room with the trees changed my life, and he told me that I'm going to speak and preach about trees. And so this has blessed me this morning with the scriptures, with what she told me about trees, and not to be haughty, not to be bigger, not to be better, but to be used by God, because he's the giant, he's the great I am, and he's going to get the glory, but I'm going to be the one that he's going to use as a vessel in the earth. And so I thank you, Overseer Paulette, just letting God use you, so that it can trickle down, so that you can help others to get to the place where God would have them be. And so I thank you so much for that.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you, dear woman of God, for sharing your testimony and encouraging others. Others need to know there is another way, and God is faithful. And what
yes.
he said he will do, he will do. I am just so grateful when we hear the testimonies, and it's hard to try to sometimes explain to people the ministry of the seven wonders. But God really has a message for specific people that he draws, so that as they enter their season, they will have the strength and the vision of their victory even before they get into their season. And how
Amen.
He provides, he gives you have affirmation of the things
yeah.
that he is showing you are true.
There yeah.
are so many things that could have and would have been presented in that year, but God chose trees. And we thank God for his guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit to bring it to pass. We think often of certain things afterwards, but when we're in the midst of it, it's an amazing walk of faith, not by sight, and we just trusting that what is coming forth, being birthed from the ministry, is of the stature and the quality of that God wants, so that his message can go forth. We thank
yeah.
you so much for sharing. It was such a joy to run into you at the retreat again.
Yes.
And I don't know, you weren't there probably because I know you guys were limited for the time that you were to share with us. But on Sunday, the apostle announced that in 2018, there will be another retreat.
Oh, praise God.
Hallelujah. It may look
Amen.
A little different, but it's going to be another retreat, mature
Amen.
And perfected and fueled by the healing clinics that are going to go on from now until then. So
Amen.
We will see. You guys keep looking for announcements and in the monthly things that come forth from the ministry, so that you are able to follow the move of God through the Labors for Christ ministry and the Dr. Apostle Shamir Houghton. We
Amen.
Again are grateful for you, and we'll just sum it up with the end of sometimes the readings are so in-depth, we can't give you everything, on this 60 Minutes that God has given us for the retreat, or even at the retreat, which is why it is in written form, and I will make sure that you get your copy.
Amen. Thank you.
Absolutely. And so we want to wrap it up with the threefold power of our lives that are illustrated in the analogy of us to trees. The root, the trunk, and the branches.
Yes.
And the leaves. That's four. Let's never look at trees the same again, but allow their presence to speak of the Creator, reminding us of our purpose, our destiny, and power to change the atmosphere of wherever we are, finding ourselves along the path to glory for God. Your fruit, your leaves, and your branches are a threefold power of your righteousness in Christ. You are seen as pillars that declare and establish God's kingdom on earth. The tree's character is revealed in the patterns and appearances of its bark, its root, its branches, its trunk, its fruit, and its leaves. No two trees are exactly alike. Each tree has the same parts, but each displays them in unique ways. Let us be like them, men as trees walking. Mark 8 and 24, becoming support for the house of God. 1 Kings 10 and 1, and the king made of the alma trees pillars for the house of God, tall, majestic, and mighty in bringing harmony between earth and heaven. Your threefold power, made strong by the depth of your roots in the Word, grounded and rooted in the deep things of God. Roots anchoring the trunk as a massive, powerful support, committed and devoted to fulfilling its purpose, to bearing the burden, connecting the roots to the parts in need of its life flowing flow. 1 Corinthians 12 and 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon which we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Your less comely parts are valued because without them, the beauty of your branches, leaves, and fruit would be short-lived. The value of what is not seen is manifested by the lasting beauty it produces. And the more abundant your leaves and the sweeter your fruit will be. We live between the trees. We live between two trees, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Our course is known, our steps ordered, and our stand like trees of righteousness line the way from the garden to glory. We thank God for the ministry of the seven wonders in the Word. We encourage you to continue the study and reading of trees throughout Scripture, for there is so much that the Lord can reveal to us about our walk and about the nature of the tree and the flow of the tree, so that we will be made strong. And by all that we have seen pour into us by the branch. Loving because we have been loved. Gentle because your hands on us were gentle. Kind because your kindness drew us. Merciful because your mercy meets our need. Patient because without your grace we would have been lost. Temperate because your spirit gives us power, and long-suffering, because you suffered so much for us, the fruit of the spirit that should come forth from us as we abide in the vine, the branches of the Most High God. Praise God. Thank you for joining us on Words from the Word. Meet us every Friday at 9 o'clock at Blog Talk Radio. And you can also get the archives of past sessions from the same Blog Talk Radio and just go into episodes. And you can get episodes from all of the ministry of Blog Talk Radio, the Blog Talk Radio family of Labors for Christ. And there are many. And we encourage you to seek them out at your convenience, and whether live or after they've been recorded and archived, they are still there for your listening enjoyment. We have the Elder Dr. Pastor Hook is on Sunday night at 10 o'clock, and that's our time because he is in Seattle, Washington now, and his program is meditation and music. Awesome, awesome time of fellowshipping so that after your worship on Sunday, he provides an environment and time for you to review all that the Lord has revealed in your services and gives us opportunity for a wonderful rest time and reflection to start our week with power and revelation from the Word of God as it has been presented to us. Again, we thank our visitors and our callers for sharing with us. We encourage you to continue to lift up the Savior, His glory high and lifted up, and He will draw all men unto Him. Again, we thank you, and we say have a blessed, blessed start of this holy, holy Advent season as we honor our Savior in our worship and in our fellowship at this Advent time. Let us always keep Christ high and lifted up and not replace happy or not replace holy by happy. God bless you.
Good evening.